very famous parak, and we just read it for the Haftorah very recently. Let's see if anybody, does anyone remember when? Remember, there was a time when we used to go to shul. Ah,
yes, we read it the Shabbos before Machar Chodesh.
Correct, we read it Pasha Zohar. That was your second guess.
Right. Oh, Zohar. Sorry, Amalek, right, yeah.
Okay. So it says as far as, Vayom Rishmu al Shol, Osi Shalach Adonai Moshe Achol Lamelech al Amo Yisrael, Vatosh Malek Kol Diver Adonai. He said, listen, I've made you, I was sent out to make you the king of Israel. And now, afterwards, it is, I'll tell you what's your job. Ko Amar Adonai Tzvos, Pakarati Eis Asher Asa Amalek Lisrael, Asher Sam Ro Baderech, Barosam Mimitzrayim. God said, it's time for payback for what Amalek did to us. Said, I want you to totally wipe out Amalek, 100%. I want you, men, women, and children, animals, little dogs, all of them got to go. That is exactly what the Navi says. If you look at the Rambam in the first source, the first two halachas, it says that when Bnei Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael, when they came and they crossed over the Jordan, there was a list of obligations that they had. The Rambam says, Shosh mitzvos nisavol Yisrael b'shosh knisosim la'aretz. There were three commandments. One, limnos lahem melech. First, they had to appoint a king. Next, lahachris zaro shel Amalek. Next, to wipe out Amalek. Shenemar timchas zecher Amalek. And finally, livnos beis habechira shenemar l'shichnos sidri shel uvas hashama. So prior to building a beis hamikdash, there were two things that had to happen. First, there had to be a king that was appointed, and we took care of that recently, right, when they appointed Shaul. And then, look at Halacha Beis, it says, Minoy melech kodum l'melchemes Amalek. It's because it's a specific order. First you have a king, then you wipe out Amalek, and then after you wipe out Amalek, what do we do then? Then you can build the Beis HaMikdash. So we are telling at this point, Shmuel is saying, Shaul, I've made you the king. Next step that we have to do is we have to wipe out Amalek. Why is, obviously, this is the Haftorah for Pasha Zohar, because it talks about wiping out Amalek. Why is Pasha Zohar specifically the Shabbos before Purim? It could be any time of the year. Why do we do it then? Can you let your father speak a little? He's trying to answer. Unmute the poor guy.
Because Haman came from Amalek.
Excellent. See, you get credit, even though other people were trying to say it. Haman was a descendant. Let's go for more. How do you know that Haman was a descendant of Amalek? Anybody? Yossi, I think if you try pushing the space bar. One second. Give me a second. I'm gonna try to see if I can unmute Yossi. No, Shlomo, I have no power over Yossi. Shlomo has disappeared and he's left his father muted. Is this Kibbutz Aim, I ask you? I feel you, Yossi, I feel your pain. I feel your pain, what can I say? Haman is known as Haman Ha'agagi. He is a descendant of Agag. There it is, if you look closely, I think that's what it says on the piece of paper for the poor guy. So, oh, there we go. Yossi, I think you can talk now.
It says, Beferosh in the Megillah, Haman ben Amdata Agagi. And Agag was the king of Amalek.
Correct. We're going to read now about Agag, the king of Amalek. Haman is a descendant of Amalek, and therefore that is the reason why Haman HaAgagi, that is the reason why that, in fact, we read this right before Purim. If you look in Esther Abasi, that's number two on the sheet, the Medrash says that ultimately it had to be that Amalek would fall at the hands of a descendant of Rachel. So it says, Amaron Haman. So it says, Haman says, Amaron le zikna halo yishtach v'zikni. Haman says, to Mordechai, you have to bow down to me. Why? Because Yaakov bowed down to Esav. In Parshas Vayishlach, it says that Yaakov bowed down to Esav, and then Leah and her children bowed down, and then afterwards, Bilhah and Zilpah. Who's the only one who never bowed down to Esav? Right? We say that, in fact, it was Rachel and Yosef. Yosef stood there and he refused to bow down. So the Medrash says, because Rachel and Yosef never bowed down, so because of that, Mordechai is from which Shevet? Ish Yehudi haya, v'shushan habira, ushmor Mordechai, ben Yair, ben Kish, ish Yemini. What do you mean? He was a righty? What does it mean he was a Yemini? Right? Yemini means he was from Binyamin.
Shevet Binyamin.
Binyamin is a descendant of Perek. And he, therefore, Binyamin is a son of Rachel. Rachel never, and now that Binyamin wasn't even alive then. Binyamin couldn't have bowed down. So that is the reason why it's Mordechai who's going to go against Haman. And similarly, Shaul, what's Shevet is Shaul from? Shaul's also from Shevet Binyamin. Because Shaul's also from Shevet Binyamin, that's the reason why the Medrash says that Shaul has to fight against Amalek, and ultimately it's going to be Mordechai. People from Shevet Binyamin, who was not alive when Yaakov bowed down to Esav, those are going to be the people that are going to beat Amalek, because we've never given in to them. The Medrash Pesik number three, Ma'ra Kosh Bavim Amalek B'midas Achzorias. So some people are very, very bothered this idea that here you have a baby, a two-year-old baby. If it's from Amalek, we kill them. That's not the Jewish ways. We're supposed to be Rachmanim, Bayishanim, Gomrei Chasodim. How does Amalek fit into this bigger picture? Right, so they said that we know that ultimately they're going to try to kill us. That what are who does Haman want to destroy? So number three says, he says, men, women, and children will all be wiped out in one day. That's what Haman wants. So God says, beat Amalek before they do that to them, before they do it to you. There's a very interesting point here. The question is, I understand, I'm sure this is bothering Marsha a lot. I understand why you have to kill the men, the women, the children. What did the little doggies do?
They got away. They didn't have to be killed because they're Z's. They're harmless. Unless they see Yossi and then they turn into vicious, vicious animals.
And if you look at the Chumash, when we talk about destroying Amalek, it says Timchez Zecher Amalek, but it never says in the Chumash that you're supposed to kill the animals.
I don't know what that is.
That seems to be Yossi's art of a dog with an X on it. I didn't know that Yossi had these artistic talents. No, this is something special. So in the Chumash, it never says to destroy the animals. There's no discussion of that whatsoever. Here, for some reason, in the Navi, we all of a sudden have this idea that the animals also have to be killed.
This is the only place it's listed to kill the animals? The other time, it was just to kill the people, the Moloch people.
In the Torah, it says the people, but here, what we just read in the prophets, it says that we should kill the animals.
Why?
So that's the question, why?
Why?
The very strange machokes. We have a disagreement. On the one hand, you have the opinion of Rashi, and on the other hand, you have the opinion of Rashi. There's a machokes between Rashi and Rashi. If you look at number four, Rashi in the Chumash on Parsha Zohar, what Rashi says, "May Ishvad Isha Me'olavad Yonik Mishor Va'adse." It quotes our pasuk, and he says, "Why?" He said the reason is as follows. We want to totally wipe out. We don't ever even want to hear the name Amalek again. And therefore, if you see an animal, people might say, that animal, you know, that used to be an animal that belonged to Amalek. So because of that, they decided that's it, wipe out the animals. That's what Rashi says in the Chumash. Rashi here, however, has a different answer. Rashi Mishorvat said, "Shehayu balik shafim, u'mashanim atzman v'domum v'behema." They had magical powers, and they were shapeshifters, and they would turn themselves into animals in order to try to save themselves. And therefore, in order to wipe out the Amalekim, you have to, in fact, wipe out the animals as well, because you never knew if one of the animals was also an actual Amaleki who uses magical powers. Very strange that we have here two different opinions. They're just Rashi in two different places. The Minchas Chinuch points this out. He says this whole thing is a little bit strange, and the Meshach Chachma as well says that these are each based on different sources. So at the end of the day, we have this command that's given to Shaul from Shmuel, and tells him it's time to fight against Amalek, and I want total destruction. No people, no animals, nothing. This is the end of it. So, okay. So v'yishma Shaul es ha'am. So he calls together all of the armies, and he says, okay, 20,000 people from the other Shvatim, 10,000 from Yehuda. We have an army of 30,000 people. We are ready to go to war. So he goes to Amalek, and he's ready to fight. Yes, Cantor Cole. Can you unmute yourself? Yes.
Hoshayim Elef Ragli.
Right, 200,000.
Now, Yehuda is the major tribe. Why did Yehuda have less than the other tribes?
Than the other 10 tribes?
Yeah.
Than the other 10 tribes? It's a good question. I don't know
where they
came up with these numbers.
I have a question.
Yes.
I don't understand about counting the lambs. I'm asking about when he's counting the soldiers, he's also counting lambs.
So again, that's not necessarily true. Again, if you look at Rashi, so Rashi quotes an opinion with, and it says that, as we know from Parsha Shkalim a few weeks back, that
right,
you in fact are not supposed to count people directly, right? So therefore there are different approaches. At some point, right, when we did in the Chumash, everyone gave a half a shekel,
right?
So according to one opinion here, by rather than counting the people, rather than taking the census, what they did is everybody gave a sheep.
So when the soldiers show up, or when they're trying to figure out their infantrymen, they're counting their sheep?
So you know, what they did is they actually, each one, when they showed up, gave a sheep. Then when they wanted to know how many people they had, they counted sheep.
Got it. That's different. I just couldn't get the picture. Sorry.
Right. I assume many of them fell asleep when they were counting sheep, as is traditional.
Very cute.
Yes. So we have these people. Vayavo Sholat Yer Amalek, Vayar Banachel. So he goes towards Amalek. Vayomer Sholat Akeni, Luchu, Suru Redu Mitoch Amaleki, Penosifra Imo, Vata Sisa Chesed, Im Kol B'nei Yisrael, Valosim, and Mitzrayim, Vayasar Keni Mitoch Amalek. The descendants of Yisrael were living in that area. And of course, we had good relationships together with the descendants of Yisrael. So we send a warning. We're about to attack. You guys probably want to get out of there. And they did. And with that, once the kingdom, the descendants of Yisrael left, we're in business. They went major military victory, major beating. But Yisro says, Agag melech Amalek chai, v'eskol ha'am hecherim lefi charev. And in fact, what happened at that point is he kills everybody, except for Agag. Agag, the king of Amalek, he does not kill, but rather he takes him captive. We know that ultimately Haman is going to be a descendant because Haman is called Haman Ha'agagi because he is the descendant of the person we just read about in the 8th Pasuk, Agag. Not only doesn't he kill Agag Sho'ol v'ayach mol Sho'ol v'ha'am al Agag v'almeita v'atzon v'abakar v'avishtin v'alakarim v'alkol atov v'alakirachimam v'chol machal nimuzav nimaso se'acharimu. They went around and they killed much of what they got, but you know, there were some really nice animals there. And they thought, you know what? It would be a crying shame to destroy all the good stuff. So the stuff that they didn't like so much, they destroyed, and other things they saved. But he divided an oil Shmuel Amor. At this point, Shmuel is not there, but Shmuel gets a message from God, and God tells him as follows. Nichamti ki imrachti yeshol rif melech. Ki shame acharai vestvarai lo hekim v'yichar v'shmo v'yizak al nakol alayla. He turns around and God says, you know what? I'm really not happy with how things have gone with Shaul. I should not have made him the king. And even though, if you remember, Shmuel did not support making Shaul the king, still he prays the whole night trying to save him. Can the call, is there a question?
Makes a mistake, I understand. But how can God make a mistake? He could see things future. He could see all the way to Mordechai. Why did he permit Shaul to become king?
The answer is as follows. The answer is, that's a question you could ask on everything, right? Every sin that happens, right, why did God let it happen? And the answer is that we have something called free will.
Yeah, but
and in order to maintain our free will, God lets us, gives us enough, as we say, gives us enough rope to hang ourselves. This is what the people wanted. People have free will, for better or for worse.
So that's a little made a mistake.
Yes.
Yes.
I have a question.
You should ask, Patty. Don't be shy.
I won't be shy. So my Hebrew is not good enough, but in terms of the translation, it talks about having mercy or having pity on Agag. I don't understand that. Why does Shaul have pity on Agag?
Why didn't he kill Agag? That's your question.
Well, I'm looking at the language, and again, correct me if the language is, if my translation is incorrect. Why would anyone have mercy or pity on Agag?
So, I mean, the question basically is, why not kill him?
Okay, you keep phrasing it differently, but I'm going from the text here.
Right. So again, the idea being is that he made a decision, like, you know what? It's a lot of the reason why some people are opposed to the death penalty. Killing a second person isn't going to make the first person better.
I understand that, but they've just wiped out everybody else and all of their animals and everything. Why for this person would we have any kind of stay of execution?
So you'll see that Shmuel's going to ask the question and Shaul's going to give an answer. So let's wait.
Okay.
So Shmuel spends the whole night praying on behalf of Shaul, which was mighty big of him, given that he never really wanted Shaul to be in charge to start with. Yud Beis, Vayashkim Shmuel Likras Shaul Baboka, Vayugad L'Shmuel Emor, Bashul HaKarmel, Vinei Matziv Lo Yad, Vayisov Vayavor Vayered HaGilgal. So Shaul gets the word. Guess what? Shmuel's coming. Right? And Shmuel is going out to see Shaul. And he gets the word where Shaul is. Vayomer Shmuel al Shaul, Vayomer al Shaul. Baruch atol Adonai hakim osi es devar Adonai. Shaul says, good news, I did everything I was supposed to do. Vayomer Shmuel, umeh kol atzon hazeh ba'oznai v'kol ha'bakar asher nachi shomea. Really? You did what you were supposed to do? What is all of this sounds of the sheep and of the cattle that I hear? Actually, there's a little bit of a joke. If people who are more proficient at reading the Haftorah, when they read this pasuk, they have a little shtick that they do. This is obviously right before Purim. So they read it, Vayomer Shmuel, umeh kol hatzon hazeh. Right? Meaning that the word umeh sounds like the sound made by sheep. Right? So that's what he says. Umeh kol hatzon hazeh. And what is all this I'm hearing? All of these sheep. So the simple understanding is right now he's turning around and he's asking, by the way, I want to know, you say you did everything. I thought we were supposed to get rid of all this. If you look at the source sheet in number 8, this pasuk is understood also in an agadic way, a homiletic understanding. The Medrash says, "Amar Rav Chelbo, Ein Ha'olam is Kayv Evel Behevel Piyam Shel Tinoko Shel Beis Rabbam." Interesting, it says that there is nothing more important in this world than children's education, which is one of the great things that we're suffering from now. The fact that we have to close the schools, it's not a good thing. Vach, and you know what? Online isn't a great option, particularly with younger kids. And in fact, the only reason that Haman failed was because of the kids. Based on the words of the young children, God has strength. And in fact, Shmuel, when he was talking about Amalek, he said, what? What is the sound I'm hearing of all these sheep? What's the Medrash referring to? Right, the young children in school refer to as sheep, and we're turning around, and we're saying that look at that you think you're going to win, you're never going to win. As long as we have children that are learning in yeshivas, you don't have a chance on them. So that is what we are talking about here. That's a Medrash. The simple understanding is exactly what we said earlier. The simple understanding is he turns to me and says, really? Is that really true? You really did what you were supposed to do? What's going on with all these kids? So Shaul answers, Tesbah, Vayomer Shaul, Me'al Maleki Eviyum, Asher Chamal Ha'av Ha'meta V'atzon V'habakar, V'man Zvoach Adonai Elohecha V'esa Yoser Hecher Ramdum. He said, well, you know, the people thought it would be a good idea that instead of wasting it, waste not, want not. So instead of wasting all of these animals, what we're going to do is, we'll offer it as a carbon to Hashem. Wouldn't that be better than just destroying it for no reason? So let me tell you what God said to me last night. And Shaul says, I'm listening. Vayomer Shmuel, halo im katon ata be'inecha roshif de Yisrael ata vayimshachacha adonai l'melech al Yisrael. He said, Shaul, you might be small in your eyes, but you're the king. And as the king, you've got to step up sometimes. Vayishrachacha adonai b'derech vayomer lech ve'ramte sechatim esamoli v'nilchamte bo ad kalosam osam. God told you, totally wipe them out. Why did you do this? Why is it that you were insistent on not listening to God and doing what you weren't supposed to do? You should have listened. Just wipe out everything. Shaul responds, Vayomer Shaul, Hashem asher shamati b'kol Adonai ve'elech b'derech ha'shalachani Adonai. So what do you mean? I did what I was supposed to do. I captured Agag and I wiped out everybody. What are you telling me I did wrong? And the people, again, he's deflecting here the responsibility. He said, look, it's the people who went and did this. You know, but I did nothing wrong. Said, what do you think God wants? You think God really wants karbanos? You think God needs you to slaughter animals on his behalf? You think that what God wants is you should listen to him. As it says, next pasuk, Chav Gimel, So listen, this is an offering of fools. You're not listening. God tells you do it. You don't come back and say, I have a better idea. Shmuel responds, again, he says, I did wrong. Why did I do wrong? Because I listened to the people. There are two different approaches among the Sfarim as to how to understand what's going on here. And they happen to be diametrically opposed. Number nine in the sheet says that the problem with Shaul was he was too haughty. It says, Shaul Melech Yisrael Gassas Ruach HaYisabon. He was very full of himself. And it goes and explains, how are we reading this, that at no point does he see he ever did anything wrong. Right? First he comes, he says, I did everything right. Then afterwards he turns around and he says, well, wasn't this a better idea which I did? And he says, it wasn't a better idea. He says, well, it was the people who made me do it. The fact that Shaul was so full of himself that he couldn't possibly see where he went wrong, that in fact is the problem. That is the approach of the Eliyahu Rabba. That's approach number one. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichos Moses sees it at the exact opposite. He says that it wasn't the problem that he was too haughty, but the problem was he was too humble. The people came to him and the people said, this is a good idea. He should have turned around and said, you know what? I'm the king. And I don't think this is a good idea. I think this is actually a terrible idea. And we're going to do what I said. And therefore, at the end, when he turns around in this pasuk and he says, you know, that I sinned. Ki avarti pi Hashem es dvarecha. Ki yoresi es ha'am. He's not saying, he's not deflecting, but he's admitting. He said, I understand. I understand what I did wrong. I should have never feared the people. I should have understood that I am the king, that I am in charge here. And based on that, I should have gone forward. So again, two very different approaches as to what did Shaul do wrong. Really diametric opposites. On the one hand, the Medrash is saying the problem with Shaul is that he was too full of himself. and he couldn't possibly admit that he did wrong. And then on the other hand, we have the approach of Rosh Chaim Levin says, no, the problem was that he was always listening to other people, and he never got into his mind that he was a king. Now, if you remember, for those of us who were learning here at the time when Shaul became the king, when Shaul was appointed as king, what was his reaction? Judy, remember?
He hid.
He hid among the pots. Right? Now we understand hanging out with pots is essential. And that's why it remains open, even in these trying times, the dispensaries. But by nature, he was not the type of person who ever wanted the job. He was trying to avoid it. And according to this approach, he just never got over it. As opposed to the other approach, he got over it way too much. Yes, Kent DeCall. We can't hear you. You have to turn on your have to unmute yourself. So how about we can't hear you?
I'll to remove the, okay, now.
Moshe Rabbeinu did not want the job. Yonah did not want the job. All of them did not want the job.
So that is true. That even Yeshayahu says, Ish temeis vasayim anochi b'soch amin tveis v'fayim. But Moshe Rabbeinu rose to the occasion.
Right.
Right? Yonah didn't work out quite as good.
Right.
Right? But that's the difference. You know, somebody who
I wanted to point out that Shaul was a very complex personality. He had mercy on the wrong people. He had mercy on Agag, and on his own son, he had no mercy. He was ready to kill Yonatan for a simple little thing.
Right? That's absolutely correct. Again, we're going to see later on with Novir Kohanim, it's going to be more obvious.
And the Kohanim that he killed were hiding Melech David.
Correct. Well, they weren't hiding him; they assisted him. Will see that assisted going forward. Him. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. That's the problem. That in general, they say this, that if you have Rachmanis where you shouldn't, you end up having Achzarius when you should. Right,
again, I ask the question, why is Shaul seen as such a great man?
He's not seen as a great man. You're wrong. He lost
his fortune. Jim, call him a great man, as great as David, in retrospect. I never have understood this.
I think he was considered a great man, but he was flawed.
So again, we still have another 15 prakim of Shaul. Right, we do not have the entire view of Shaul. To do the post mortem, it might be premature at this point.
Okay, I'll wait.
Spoiler alert, if you want, it doesn't end well.
Yes, I know how it ends. It doesn't end well. I just never understand why he's thought of as such a great man.
Yeah, I just wish this works. I can tell you, it doesn't end well.
I'm aware. I don't understand why the Mefarshim think he's such a great man.
So again, as I said, we aren't halfway through Shaul yet.
I got it. I understand. Time,
there will be a time for a postmortem, but this is not
yet. Okay. I'll wait.
So again, the example that Yossi makes a very good point, right? They talk about, I think it was Goering, that Hermann Goering oversaw the murders of a million children. And
right.
Every night when he went back to his apartment, he used to take off his shoes and not turn on the lights before he walked in because he didn't want to wake up his bird. Right? There are stories about small towns in Europe where after the Jews were taken away, the people made sure to take in the animals so they shouldn't be homeless. You know, if you have misplaced sympathy, it really doesn't, right? You need to have a certain balance. If part of the balance is off, everything's off. So Yossi's right. If you here where Agag should not have been shown any mercy, you're going to show mercy here. Later on, when you're supposed to show mercy, you're going to swing the other way. Absolutely correct. So, Chaf Hei. Va'ata son eschatasi v'shuv imi v'shachav el Adonai. Interestingly, Shaul's biggest concern at this point is that he shouldn't look bad. So he says, do me a favor. come with me to see the people, you know, that we should at least, you should join me. I should have the honor of you coming with me. Shmuel says, what are you, crazy? Vayomer Shmuel al shol, lo ashubimach. Ki ma'astis devar Adonai v'yimaschah noy miyos melech ha'yisrael. No, you don't understand. We're not friends. You violated God. You're not going to be the king anymore. This is over. We're not hanging out together. So with that, Vayisov Shmuel Olechas Vayechazek B'chnaf Me'ilo Vayikara. And with that, he turns around and he's walking away. And what happens?
Shmuel grabs his robe.
Shmuel grabs whose robe?
Shaul grabs Shmuel's robe.
And what happens? And it rips.
He tears it, trying to hold him.
Rashi says that's one of two ways of reading that verse. If you look closely, it could just as easily say that Shmuel turned around and what? He tore his own cloak.
Got it.
Why would Shmuel be tearing his cloak at this point?
It's a form of mourning.
So it's not necessarily a form of mourning. It's what's called a poel dimyon. He's making a statement here. And he says in the next verse, "Vayomer Erav Shmuel, Kara Adonai es Mamachos Yisrael me'alecha ayom, Nesat Reyacha tov mimecha." Now the monarchy has been torn away from you, right? And therefore it's been given away. Once the Navi does an action, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, right? For example, if a Navi, you know, in Yecheskel this happens all the time. Yecheskel will go and he'll hold up a piece of wood and said, this is Ephraim, and another one, and this is Yehuda, and he puts them together. And now they are merged as one. He said, so too. That's a higher level of Nevuah. So one opinion is that Shaul went to grab, that's the simple reading truth is, to grab Shmuel's cloak to say, come stay with me. And accidentally he rips it. The other opinion is that Shmuel on his own said, watch this. Cloak is ripped. It's done. Get it? You're not the king anymore. The kingdom's going elsewhere. It's over for you. So again, if you look at the source number 7, discusses this as well. Okay, we're going to go on, though. We're not going to do it inside. It's actually spelled out even clearer that Medrash is quoted in Rashi on that pasuk. Chavchas, v'yom erov Shmuel, kar adonai zemal mochos Yisrael me'alecha, yom nisad l'yecha tomei mecha. It's been taken away from you. It's been given to your friend who's better than you. And note that there's no way of getting, because you can't talk God out of it. He's not human. He can't be convinced otherwise. What Shaul's reaction? This is a very fascinating. After all this happened, right? Shaul's been told repeatedly by Shmuel that you have messed up and you are now no longer going to be the king. What is on Shaul's mind? That he's got to go for and request. Pasuk Lamed Vayomer Chatosi Ato Kabdeinina Neged Zikne Ami VeNeged Yisrael VeShuvi Mi VeShavecha Adonai Elecha. He said, "Okay, but come join me." He still is concerned of the optics. How is it going to look if he goes back without Shmuel? At this point, Shmuel kind of. You can see him giving the ultimate shrug and saying, this guy just don't get it. He says, fine. So they go back together. He bows down like he's supposed to. And with that, Shmuel says, Vayomer Shmuel, Hagishu Erei Esagag Melech Amalek. Vayecherov Agag Ma'adonos, Vayomer Agag Achein Sar Hamavis. So he says to him, bring me Agag. And Agag says, well, I guess I don't have to worry about death anymore because here it comes. Vayomer Shmuel, Akasha, Shikha, Nashim, Harbecha, King Tishkal, Minashim, Yecha. He said, just like women were widowed by your sword, now your mother's about to lose her child. And with that, he slices him. The Medrash in number 12, if anyone is interested, talks about exactly how he sliced him, cut him into four pieces, put him on poles. It wasn't a happy ending for him. And that's that. Agag is dead. As we know, Agag did somehow manage to have a child. And that child, of course, because Agag got to live this extra day, because Shaul had mercy on him. That's how we got Haman. Were it not for that, we would have never gone through what we went through in the Purim story. And he's gone.
Question.
Yes.
Okay. Since he killed everybody except Agag, there was no Amaleki women. So it must have been a Jewish lady. So Haman must have been Jewish then.
So why do you assume that the only people in the world are either Amalekim or Jews?
Well, because they got rid of the other groups. They separated themselves from Amalek.
So he wasn't a Canaanite. But what about, couldn't there be a Moabite or an Ammonite or a Kenizzi?
No, I mean...
Right? There are many, many other options out there.
I didn't know any of those people.
So there are. It's interesting. It happens to be there is a possibility. Now, once the cantor mentioned it, when it comes to, let's say, a Amaleki marries a Moabi. Is that child a Moabi or an Amaleki?
That depends on how they interpret it. We only interpret the Jewish side. We don't
But we have to decide also, right? Do we have to?
Amaleki.
Why do you say Amaleki?
Because I think it went by the fathers at that point.
So that is correct. Assuming the father was an Amaleki, when it comes to Amalekis, it goes by paternal descent, as opposed to Jewish. Obviously, we follow, at least among the Orthodox, we follow maternal descent. That is, according to this, if a Jewish woman married an Amaleki man and they were blessed with a child, what would that child be?
Which tribe are you asking about?
I'm not asking about tribes.
I'm saying, if it was born to a Jewish woman, Jews consider the child a Jew. Amalekis would probably consider it Amaleki.
Well, why wouldn't Jews say that if your father's an Amaleki, you're an Amaleki?
Because we go by matrilineal descent.
Only for Judaism. But again, when it comes to other things, right, we have to decide who is a Moavi, right? Because there's rules of who is allowed to convert. I need to know, are you a Domi? Are you a Moavi? Are you an Ammoni? Are you an Amaleki?
Children of a Jewish woman are considered Jews.
Right, but this kid would be an Amaleki Jew.
Okay.
So there is such a thing. There is a possibility of being an Amaleki Jew. You could have such a thing.
So was Ishmael Jewish or was he Egyptian?
Ishmael? Again, the Jews weren't invented yet.
Exactly. And not during this time either.
Right. So at that time in history, you can't ask me the question.
Already?
Right, because Avram wasn't Jewish.
Right.
Avram wasn't.
My point,
how's his son going to be Jewish?
Right, that's my point. But during Shaul's time...
During Shaul's after Matan Torah, it's a whole different ballgame. Shaul's time is like today. Okay. It's not like Avram's time.
Okay.
So... Let's finish the parak. Lamed Dalet Vayera Shmo Haramata Vishol Olal Beso Givat Shaul. And everybody goes home. Shmuel goes to where he lived, and Shaul goes to Givat Shaul where he lives. Interesting. Vlo Yasaf Shmuel Lirosa Shaul Ad Yomoso. Yisabel Shmuel Shaul Ravadanoi Nicham Kim Lecha Shaul Al Yisrael. Never again for the rest of his life. The Shmuel C. Shaul. Yeah. This is really the end. Here, this is his student. This is the first king that he anointed. And unfortunately, it has ended at this point. There is nothing more to talk about. Very sad, Perek. We destroyed Amalek so close, but we didn't. And this is the ultimate downfall of Shaul, as we will see. We will continue next week. It's Sunday, I think we're having Pesach here, and then Thursday, Navi here. Is that correct, Shlomo?
Yep. And anyone who wants to, you can call in now at the Feldman's. They're also sending virtual
show. Oh, yeah?
Between 8 and 9, yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, I don't know who died.
Barbara's father unfortunately passed away.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I did not know.
You can call me separately. I can give you the number if you need.
Okay. All right.
All the best. Have a good Shabbos, everyone.
Thank you.
Good Shabbos, Rabbi. Thank you.
Marsha, I'm coming to get rid of your dog.